Good morning, family. Hey, my name is Drew, and I'm one of the pastors here at McLean Bible Church, and it's good to be with you guys today, whether you're watching from our overflow space or watching from home or just here in the room. It's great to be together around God's Word. And we're going to be closing out our sermon series today, a sermon series called How to Fight in the Dark, where our pastors have been faithfully preaching just verse by verse through Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, highlighting and capturing the reality of the everyday spiritual warfare we experience. As evil spiritual forces seek to separate us from the God who made us and the God who desires for us to know him. And in our defense, we've seen in Ephesians 6 that God has provided an armor to protect and strengthen us in this spiritual battle. And today I want to cover a critical weapon that activates this armor, and that's prayer. Somebody look to your neighbor and say prayer. I want to dive straight into reading this text, and then I'll explain it a little bit, and then I'll lead that. That'll eventually lead us into a time of prayer. But before we get there, here's the bottom line I want you to remember for today, is that prayer is the key to standing firm in this spiritual battle. All right, prayer is the key to standing firm in this spiritual battle, and let's go ahead of God's word and read it. So here's verse 10, Ephesians 6. It says, "Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens." Verse 13, "For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having prepared everything to take your stand." And this is how we stand, verse 14. "Stand, therefore, with the truth, like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. And in every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." In verse 18 through 20 that we'll emphasize today, "Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. And pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should." This is God's word. So after Paul calls the church in Ephesus to clothe themselves with the armor of God, in verse 18 through 20, he emphasizes that prayer is how we draw spiritual strength from God in this battle. And why is he capturing prayer? Because prayer is how we talk to God and how we learn to rely on God. It's a direct way that we address Father, God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And not only address them, but also build a relationship with them. It's how in this battle we can communicate our needs, our thoughts, our desires, our emotions, and plus how God chooses to reveal his will for us. Prayer keeps us connected to an all-powerful God, an all-present God that the Word of God says never sleeps or slumbers. Meaning, in this battle, you have 24/7 access to him as you would to a local 7-Eleven convenience store. He is always near, he is always available, always listens, and always responds according to your good. So Paul knowing that in this spiritual battle, our human strength is not enough, he exhorts Christians in the church in Ephesus to run to their commander on the battlefield, to faithfully follow the leadership of God and seek his strength. Because when we go to prayer as Christians, we're not going in prayer because we need something. We're approaching God in prayer because we need someone. And above all things in this battle, you need God. And as Christians, if you want to defeat spiritual enemies in your life, we must be rooted in the power of God that comes through prayer. So how should Christians pray in this battle? Well, I want to show you 9 ways that we see this, starting with verse 18. We're going to see 7 ways that Paul instructs believers in the church to pray. So let's read verse 18 again. It says, "Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints." So here's number 1, pray at all times. Somebody say all times. All times. And why do we pray at all times? Because we are all in this spiritual battle. And we must fight spiritual with the spiritual. The reality is that the spiritual war that's in our lives takes place on the turf of your heart. It's fought for the control of your soul in every situation. In every location and circumstance of your life, the enemy is out to attack you and to deceive you and to lead you away from God. And we live in a fallen world that does not operate the way God intended because of sin. There's sin in us and there's sin around us. And at any point in this battle, our hearts can be deceived into us thinking that our sinful way is better. Or we can be deceived by the voices of the enemy into thinking that his sinful way is better. The reality is, as Christians, we are on a battlefield, like it or not. So as a result, prayer has to be our first response, not our last resort, as we suit up with the armor of God. It's through prayer that the spiritual strength of the armor of God goes to work. This is our offensive strategy. We're good to go in battle covered in prayer. And this is also the example of Jesus that he gave to his followers, his disciples. When we pray, we reflect Jesus' supreme example of how to pray continually. When Jesus walked on earth, he communed privately with God the Father. He would retreat to pray. And then he would pray publicly, asking God's blessing over his ministry. And he taught his disciples how to pray in Matthew 6. He prayed God's blessing over people continually. And he even prayed when experiencing his own affliction, including when he hung on the cross, dying for the sins of the world. When we pray at all times, we find strength in Jesus, our commander, and we also model his example of what it looks like to run to the Father. So here's point number two, pray in the Spirit. Somebody say Spirit. So what Spirit is Paul talking about here? He's referring to the Holy Spirit. It's not so much about a specific word that you're supposed to pray here. It's more so about the posture of your heart as you pray, who you submit to when you pray. We pray according to the Spirit's leading in our life and pray according to what he places in our heart and in our mind. I love Romans chapter 8, verse 26-27. It says this, it's on the screens, in the same way the Spirit also helps us in our weakness because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. And he who searches our hearts, God who searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I love this scripture because it captures that the Holy Spirit prays for us even when we don't know what to pray for. The Holy Spirit has a prayer list already put together for us even before we start typing that list into our devices. And to access God's power in our lives and in our world, we must pray in the Spirit, submitting to the will of the Holy Spirit and utilizing the spiritual wisdom that he gives us while remaining on the same page with him in battle. And here's point number three. We pray with every prayer. Somebody say every. Another translation reads with all prayer, meaning all kinds of prayer. You can pray alone. You can pray in a group. You can pray silently to yourself. You can pray out loud. You can pray as you're walking, pray as you're kneeling, pray when you're hurting, or pray fervently for an urgent request. Like when you pray, you can pray in private. You can pray in silence. You can pray publicly. You can pray formally. You can pray informally. There's no special formula here, brothers and sisters. Just talk to God. And as we talk to God, we need to have in mind the importance of staying in regular communication with God under all circumstances. Like this is a discipline you'll hear in the church. It's a spiritual discipline that should be woven into all of our life. And here's number four. Paul says to pray with every prayer and all requests. Somebody say requests. God wants us to make intense, thorough requests to him. He desires for us to be in a state where we constantly look to God, making our pleas to him, believing that he is a God that will always supply for what we need. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 7 about prayer. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Who among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Jesus invites us to approach God the Father and to ask. And he promises that he will provide for our good according to his will. Paul adds this in Philippians 4, 6-7. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God wants us to talk to him about everything. Everything. You see, many of us would treat prayer like the national anthem before an athletic game. It gets the game started, but simply has no connection to what is happening on the field. It's a courtesy. And God doesn't want you to just chant a few words or repeat this religious routine, these words that you learned, this liturgy you learned growing up in church. He doesn't want you to live in this repetition as a courtesy. He wants to hear everything that you got. He wants to personally connect with what you are experiencing and walking and navigating through in your life. So be specific and thorough with your requests, trusting that you can never overwhelm God. Here's number five. Paul says, stay alert. Pray while remaining alert, like reliable soldiers who remain alert before battle and in battle. We should be aware when the enemy is attacking us. Paul says to stay alert because the devil is like a roaring lion seeking who to devour, seeking to devour people, seeking to devour you. And Satan wants us to doubt God's word. He wants us to doubt his love for us, to be overcome by fear and anxiety and sit in shame because of our sin. So this is why we should remain in a constant prayerful state, frequently speaking with God as you would frequently text or DM with a close friend. We should remain on guard in this battle by praying without ceasing so that we are ready to defend against the attacks from the enemy. And here's number six, pray with all perseverance. Continue in believing by faith that the Lord will supply for all of our needs, as James writes in his letter, Jesus' brother. He says this in James chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. This is the invitation. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting. Ask how? In what? In faith. For the doubter is like the surging sea driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways. So we see an invitation here to persistently believe by faith that Jesus is our good shepherd who will never leave us lacking. And here's number seven, pray on behalf of others. Look to the person next to you and say, pray for me. And we're going to do that later. We're going to hold you accountable. But Paul writes, we are to faithfully intercede in prayer on behalf of our brothers and sisters who fight with us. We pray for all Christians because Satan's spiritual warfare is against Jesus and his whole church. And this is why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 that we should encourage one another and build each other up. Or how the writer of Hebrews, as we covered earlier this summer in Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, emphasizes that the church should not neglect gathering, but regularly meet to encourage one another in our faith. In this spiritual battle, we encourage and give hope to one another as we follow Christ together. We fight not only for ourselves, but we fight for the brother and sister beside us. We should be concerned about our safety as we remain alert, but also we are to be concerned about the safety of others. Your instinct in this battle should be to fight with other Christians. This is God's design for you. So according to verse 18, we see seven ways to pray. We pray at all times. We pray in the Spirit while we remain alert with all perseverance and with intercession on behalf of all Christians. And then Paul highlights in verse 19, let's read it again. It says, pray also for me, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Here's number eight, pray on behalf of your spiritual leaders. Paul planted this church, and as one of their spiritual fathers, he says, pray for me. And why is he asking for prayer? So that the gospel would be made known boldly and clearly through his life. And it's true that every Christian is on a spiritual battleground. That's true. But I also believe that Christian leaders are on the front lines of this battleground. And Satan delights in picking apart leaders in the church. He loves scandals and he loves abuse and infidelity and division and walking leaders publicly walk away from Christ. And Satan will do anything and everything to crush leaders on the front lines so that it disorients and discourages the soldiers that march behind them. And Christian leaders Be careful. We can be deceived into thinking that ministry leadership is a fortress from spiritual warfare. When actually, when you sign up to be in a ministry position, when you sign up to lead others spiritually, you're choosing to be on the front lines. So pray for your spiritual leaders. Pray for our elders, Elder Patrick Lee, Elder Mike Kelsey. Pray for our pastors, but myself, Pastor Josh, Pastor Derek, and Joe and King, and other pastors across our church. Pray for our ministry staff. Pray for leaders who are unpaid that devote themselves to serve and by making disciples and glorifying God through their works. Pray that we will remain faithful in our suffering. Pray that when sin comes our way, when temptation is knocking on our door, that we will run from sin in our lives and glorify God in our decisions. Pray that we will reflect Jesus boldly in this culture where it counters the teaching of God's word. Pray that despite the opposition we face, we will remain rooted in solid doctrine and in sound teaching. Pray that God will protect us and strengthen us when sometimes we are the first to take the blows of the enemy on behalf of those marching behind us. And I ask you as one of your pastors to pray for me, for all leaders in our church, because we also need comfort from God. We also need healing from God and need strength as we are attacked and wounded in this battle. And here's number 9, pray for boldness when sharing the gospel. You notice how Paul asks for prayer, not merely for his own sake, but for the sake of the gospel, to faithfully proclaim to the church and the community of his time the mystery of the gospel, he writes. And as I preached 2 weeks ago, Satan works to deceive people all around us in our world through different worldviews and religious worldviews that lead people to question or deny that salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone. And this was happening in Paul's time. His world was filled with mysterious religions and mysterious cults that steered people away from the truth of the gospel, which is why he's writing to the church in Ephesus, one of the primary reasons, to strengthen them doctrinally so that they would know how to live and practice God's word. And Paul clarifies the mystery of the gospel when you read Ephesians 2, chapter 2 through chapter 3, by teaching that God's divine plan to save and restore humanity was once hidden. But it was publicly revealed when Jesus came to our world as fully God and fully man, living a sinless life, and then offered his life on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin through his death, burial, and resurrection. And Paul is asking the church for boldness to share this truth with others, even while he is detained. Listen to verse 20. He says, "For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may be bold enough to speak about it as I should." And if you were to take time to study the life of Paul and his ministry of 30 plus years, he is constantly experiencing suffering for the sake of the gospel, including 3 known imprisonments that we see clearly in the word. And as he lives to make disciples and he lives to plant churches by advancing the gospel, people either want to see him confined to a prison cell or they want to see him dead. But Paul does not allow his chains to detain him. It's here in his second imprisonment that he writes this letter of Ephesians, and he writes other New Testament letters as well. And while locked up, he doesn't ask for comfort, and he's not asking for freedom. Rather, he's asking for continued boldness in sharing that Jesus Christ is the Savior and the hope of the world. And the people in this time who rejected this truth, rather than Paul shy away from them, this raises an eternal urgency inside of Paul to be even more bold, to preach clearly and loudly, so that those that were being deceived by the evil one would know the truth of God's love for them. And he did that in whatever context God was calling him to obey, whether it was sharing with governing officials, religious leaders, or the common person. Paul's heart was so boldly committed to proclaiming Christ. I mean, check out Acts chapter 28, verse 30 through 31. While he's on house arrest here in his second imprisonment, it reads, he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, doing what? Proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. And now connect the dots here with me. The intercessory prayers from the church in Ephesus on Paul's behalf were answered. Acts 10:28 is evidence of that. We see here that he did have the boldness to preach the gospel with his words and through his actions, even if it risked his own freedom. And years later, after Paul is released from being in chains for 2 years, and he walks freely for a couple years. He ends up back in Rome in a prison cell this time, waiting for his impending death. And look at, check this out, in one of his final, which was his final written recorded letter in the Bible, 2 Timothy, these are some of his last recorded words in verse 16 through 18, chapter 4, it says, "At my first defense, no one stood by me, but everyone deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that I might fully preach the word and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth." And listen to this gospel hope. "The Lord will rescue me from every evil work and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." You can clap for that. All glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. For the ways that he worked through the life of Paul, we see that his example is incredible. After experiencing so much suffering and injustice from living boldly for Jesus, his eyes remain fixed on Jesus. And the desire of his heart is to live for the spread of God's glory and live for the spread of the gospel in the world around him. Why? So that people could be forever saved and secured with him in heaven, not forever separated from God in hell. He knew that regardless of what the enemy would do to him in this battlefield, that God, his commander, would grant him eternal safety and security in his kingdom. So ask yourself this question. Is this the kind of boldness that you have? Is this the kind of boldness that you live by when it comes to proclaiming the gospel through your words and your actions? Like, we live in a world where people all around us are dying in sin and desperately in need of a Savior. And you and I, us, not just me, not just leaders and pastors, you and I as followers of Jesus have the good news about God's love for us, that he sent his son Jesus to pay the price for our sins so that we could be eternally forgiven and have eternal life and victory in Christ if we believe and surrender to him by faith. Like, imagine having the cure for cancer and not going out of your way to visit your dying family member to give them that cure. Your sphere of influence, your family, your blood family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, you know these people by name, you sit with them. You talk about your weekend, you talk about the football game, you talk about your family, your community. They need to know the hope of salvation that is found in Jesus. And you have this good news of hope and life to share with them. So don't hold back. Share it with urgency because their eternity depends upon it. They need to know the good news of the mercy and grace that is found in Jesus. So Paul provides us 9 ways to pray. Because prayer is the key to standing firm in this spiritual battle. And he begins to close his letter to the church in Ephesus with an invitation for all Christians to put on the armor of God and to activate it with prayer, to find strength and encouragement in Jesus, our victorious commander, who the Bible reveals has already conquered Satan, sin, and death. And that the fulfillment of this day is coming, when God will cast Satan, his demons, sin, and death into an eternal lake of torment, including any person that denies Jesus as Savior and Lord of their life. And for those of us who have faithfully trusted in Jesus by faith through grace alone and Christ alone and choose to fight in his army, they will dwell in a world of spiritual victory where they will finally be with God and at peace, and not just spiritual, but physical, literal, forever free from the effects of sin and evil in this world. This is the good news of the gospel. So as we reflect on God's word this morning, I want to invite you to consider 3 questions to think about. And here's 1, in this battle, are you praying to God for strength? In this battle, are you praying to God for strength? Family, you need God's strength in this battle. Many of you are walking through seasons of trial, uncertainty, grief, trauma, fear, and discouragement, but God invites you to trust him today. He invites you to find your strength in him today, to believe that he listens to you and that he fights for you. And the enemy will do everything to lead you to question his presence in your life and his provision for you. But don't buy into the lie Establish a deep relationship with God today by committing yourself to continue prayer and building your relationship with Him. And if you're wondering what it looks like to pray, here's a simple acrostic that we use here at McLean Bible Church. It's just called pray. We got it on the screens. We break it down this way: praise, repent, ask, yield. You start by giving praise to God when you pray. Start off by acknowledging God for who He is and what He's done in your life. Thank Him for what He's done. And then you repent. You confess your sin to God, trusting in God's forgiveness and turning from your sin. And then ask. You bring your requests to the Lord. He wants to hear them, and bring the requests of others to Him as well. And then you yield by surrendering to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We pray in the Spirit. Like today, you can lead by praising God for His power and might that He supplies you in this battle, by repenting from the tendency to fall into the enemy's traps while in this battle, by asking God to provide for all that you need in this battle, and by yielding every day to His will for you in the midst of your warfare. Seek God's presence in His word as a source of truth and strength when the enemy is attacking you, and do it without ceasing on that metro ride, while washing the dishes, while out for a jog, while at the dinner table or on the bus ride to school, whether you're sitting, you're walking, you're laying down in bed, or you're on your knees before God. God wants to hear from you. And He also wants you to hear from Him. He wants you to know Him, to follow Him, to learn to trust Him. And God's will is not for you to do that alone. Here's number two. In this battle, are you praying for others to trust God as their strength? Or maybe better said, are you praying with others to trust God as your strength? Like, the way to know how to pray for people is to start spending time with other Christians. Just start sharing in life. Rejoice with one another. Teach one another. Help one another. Carry one another's burden. Speak the truth of God's word. And pray on behalf of one another. You won't know how to specifically intercede on behalf of your brothers and sisters in Christ if you don't ask them specifically what they need prayer for. And vice versa, people won't know how to specifically pray for you if you don't share your personal needs. So this is why I invite you to join a church group, a community, a class this fall. Within our church, whatever's available in our fall ministry calendar, and if your schedule doesn't permit to join a formal NBC ministry, then just start gathering informally with members in our church, committing to three things: just weekly time in the Word, and weekly time in prayer, and weekly time together as a family and community. MoCo family, we got to put an end to superficial relationships in the church. We should not be comfortable with casual conversations in the lobby over a cup of coffee or with 60-second, sometimes forced greetings in our service. God challenges us to go beyond that. And Satan will do everything to get in the way for you to not prioritize that rhythm in your life. Laziness, lack of prioritizing values, lack of prioritizing God's word. He will infiltrate your mind and try to deceive you and lead you away from God's family. But we need to stick together. We need to gather regularly and commit to each other in prayer. We need to see God's face as we pray and as we read His word. Whether it's 5 or 10 minutes of your day, just start praying together for your needs and for your whole church family. Let's be a family that puts on the armor of God together and goes into battle fervently in prayer. And here's the last question, number three. In this battle, are you praying for boldness to share the gospel? Do people know you as someone who clearly reflects Jesus with their actions and shares Jesus with their words? And in case you're unsure where to start, here's a simple method to consider from a ministry called Dare to Share that is committed to mobilizing the church for the spread of the gospel. And they call this the call circle. Got a picture of this call circle on the screen. It's prayer, care, share, just three steps. And it's built based off of scriptures where we see Jesus live a continual pattern of praying for people, of caring for people, and sharing the gospel with those He was trying to reach so He could most effectively share. Here's prayer. Prayer lays the foundation for your outreach efforts. It's always good to talk to God about people before you talk to people about God. So start by praying for people you know by name who are yet to trust Jesus as their Savior. Pray that they will be open to the gospel, that God would reveal Himself to them, and that God would open their hearts to faith and trust in Him. And then move to care. People don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care about them. So when we care for people, we have a unique privilege in our actions to communicate God's love and grace to them. So don't get so caught up with sharing the gospel with your words that you miss out on the significance of showing the gospel with your works. doing this care can create opportunities for spiritual conversations that maybe would have never existed without a relationship. And here's this third one, is share. Share the gospel out loud with words. This is how we make disciples. We carry the good news of the gospel to others. And if you're wondering what to share, we don't got a lot of time, but here's a short and clear acrostic that is easy to remember that summarizes six simple truths that we see when we study the big picture of the Bible. And here's the first, is G, is that God created us to be with him. And O, our sin separates us from God. And S, sin cannot be removed by good deeds. But P, paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. So that E, everyone who trusts in him alone can have eternal life. So that L, life with Jesus can start now and last for all eternity. And you can use this as a framework when walking people through the gospel. And when you're done, then invite that person to belief in Jesus. And if they're unsure, ask them how you can clarify things. And even when they lack clarity, maybe ask them what's holding them back from belief in the gospel. And they choose not to believe, then commit to praying for them and caring for them. Just start that cycle again and share the gospel again when you're given the opportunity. And that they do believe, commit to discipling them, providing spiritual care and support, teaching them to obey God's word and follow Jesus faithfully and to make disciples that go and make other disciples of Jesus. NBC family, I exhort you to live boldly for the proclamation of the gospel and your spheres of influence. And you can do it daily, starting in your home. And then move into the places that you go with the people that you see. And do it with your church family as well, together, as we serve one another. And even as we serve the unchurched in our community. And before we leave today, Pastor Josh will share more about that during our announcements. But here for now, I want you to remember this. Bottom line, prayer is the key to standing firm in this spiritual battle. It's the key. That's where I believe Paul is landing the plane in his invitation for us to suit up with the arm of God and to find strength in him. And that's where I want to land our time in God's word this morning. I want us to suit up and go to the Lord in prayer, seeking, asking the Lord for strength, for wisdom, for comfort, for direction from our commander as we fight against the attacks and the schemes from the evil one.